Welcome, everyone. Good morning. Wow, what a crowd. Now I'm really glad we arranged to get this larger meeting room. A lot of you were with us last month. Our meeting room was the regular one at the Natural Resources Building, and I apologize then for not having enough room for everyone, but it looks like we even could have used a bigger room here. There are some seats in the front here, if anyone in the back would like to sit down. But welcome. This is the January 11th, 2014 meeting of the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission. And we've got, obviously, we've got some very important items on our agenda, or we would not have seen the number of people in the audience that we are looking at right now. And we do appreciate the importance. We see ourselves as the conduit for public input to the department at the highest levels. So your presence here, greatly appreciated. We want to hear your views. We look forward to that. That's the heart of what is happening today. Okay, we start each Saturday morning with an open public input opportunity. We ask people to speak to issues that are not on the agenda, in which the item includes public input. So we'll start. We have a few people who've signed up for this open public input opportunity, and I'll call you up two at a time just to make it very efficient. I think most of you have attended commission meetings in the past. You're allowed 3 minutes for your testimony. I'd like you to speak a few inches from the mic. And when you hear the beeping noise, that means the 3 minutes is up. And we'd like you to wrap it up, conclude your remarks. If you're in mid-sentence, if you have another sentence, that's fine, but try to wrap it up. Okay, we'll start with Steve Matthews and Bob Lake. Would you please come forward? Yes. Pick a chair in front of a mic. We'll start with you, Mr. Matthews.
Yeah, thanks, Chairman Wecker. Commissioners, I'm Steve Matthews, retired professor of fisheries, University of Washington. I've been gill netting for 40 years in and around that operation. I've also used purse seines on and research experiences, and I've done analysis of purse seine data. And my primary concern is on the Columbia River. I know it's going to be busy this afternoon, and that's purse seining on the Columbia River. I hope you've seen the testimony I sent around last week already. I've gotten some additional comments on the one I just gave you here, but the bottom line here is given the connecting the dots between the best available science of actually using science based on working commercial seine boats, and then the problems of sorting and handling in an extreme environment on the Columbia, I just don't see how you're going to get better than 50% mortality there. I know that's there's strong opinions to the reverse, but it would have to be a whole lot less than that to make all the added costs and disruption and the conflict of yet another gear type in the river make it worth it. Now, there's lots of other science-based stuff around, and as well as the practical things. And my intention is to, and I've been in touch with Ron Roller and his counterpart Tony down in the river, and I'm going to keep supplying them with additional material. I didn't want to overload you people at this time, so I'm going to be contacting them with additional stuff. Just stop a minute before you put a powerful seine boat on, seine fleet
seaweed out of that river. Look at the data. Instead of spending another $2 million on studying this thing, hire a researcher for $20,000 and look at some of the past experience on using seine boats and really take a hard look at this thing. So I'll probably be contacting the technical people, and that's really ought to, we should be working, but I'll send copies to the salmon people too. So Raleigh and Connie, these guys, and Mr. Kehoe, I haven't met him yet, but anyway, that's
thank you.
I have to say this morning, thank you very much.
Thank you. Joe Ferdows, would you come forward? Okay, Mr. Lake, you can go sit down.
Thank you.
Chairman Wecker and members of the commission, my name is Bob Lake. I am a gunliner from both Willapa and Grays Harbor, which also includes the Columbia River. And I requested some time back to get the information from the what's going on with the Columbia River Compact and the joint venture between Washington and Oregon, and have yet to receive the information I've requested. I requested it numerous times and was told one time that, well, we're not going to give that out to the general public now. And I don't feel the gunliners from both Grays Harbor and Willapa have been representative what we should be represented in this whole process. You've got a few people that's seining, just test seining right now, and we're not getting the information. And also, I see on this, I was reading this morning, about gillnet license buyback program. I'm going to read something that was done back in, it's chapter 77.8, the RCW. I'm going to read just part of it. The public welfare requires that the state have the authority to purchase commercial fishing vessels, licensed gear, and permits offered for sale as appropriate in a manner that will provide relief to the individual vessel owner and which will affect a reduction in the amount of commercial fishing gear in use in the state, so as to ensure increased economic opportunity for those persons in the industry and to ensure that sound scientific conservation and harvesting programs will be carried out. And I'm thinking, we're looking, we've already went through two buybacks, and now we're talking about another buyback, and you're trying to cripple a total industry that is more controllable than a recreational fishery. You know what we're catching. You know within 24 hours exactly the amount of fish was been caught by the gillnet fishery and everything. And we also have proven time and time again that by run timing and mesh size, we can control a lot of what we catch. Our impacts are a whole lot better than what we're looking at everything else. And if you look at hooking mortalities, and there's a new study out of Alaska floating around now, you might want to pay attention to, because they figure at least 50% of what is released on the Chinook side never spawn for that reason. So, and that's about all I got to say. If there's any questions, thank you.
Thank you. Ken Cruz. Okay, Mr. Ferdows.
My name is Joe Ferdows, Puget Sound prawn fisherman and a cordist. Good morning, commissioners. Today, I'm just going to follow up with the last time I was here regarding the Puget Sound prawn catch last year. And I'd have to say I was wrong about the numbers last time. They actually came out, and they actually caught even less than I thought. Last time, I claimed that the wrecks had caught 15,000 pounds of the 30,000 pound allocation, and the numbers that came out last month were they caught 12,000 pounds of the 33,000 pounds that was allocated in Region 1. So that further emphasizes what I've said, is that there was a bit of an overreach, in my opinion, of the last policy, and that we need to kind of re-update it and look at it. And there was some talk of last time to have the managers discuss it with you. In talking with Mark O'Toole, and I had a phone call with Rich Childers, I don't know that it is actually on the agenda, and so it needs to be sooner rather than later, I would think. And that's pretty much what I have to say. Other than the end of your quotas was 37% caught by the commercial, 63% by the recreational, so which was off, of course, from the 70-30 that the policy states and continues to state. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Brett Bodenhammer.
Ken Cruz.
Mr. Cruz.
Ken Cruz, Puget Sound Prawns. And just following up on what Joe said with the 70-30 allocation that was put in place last year, it seemed like for a couple of months that the state managers were looking at a 35-65 split, and then at the last meeting, one of the commissioners that's no longer here said, I'd like to look at 70-30, and it was unanimous. You guys voted unanimous to go with the 70-30. Regardless, they didn't reach it. The policy was set for a specific number. In the San Juan Islands that, like Joe said, was short by about 17,000 pounds, now it sounds to me like the managers will exchange some straits quota, 9,000 pounds of straits quota, which the commercial fleet was basically relegated to fish in the straits because our boat size, the rough weather, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, now it seems that the rec guys want that quota and not the island quota. And it's just kind of frustrating for us to go back and forth on this. But a bigger point I think that you guys need to address, I know I talked to Larry Carpenter about a buyback for the commercial fleet funded partly by the license sales or a catch card for the prawn fishing. Recreational prawn fishing. That's probably a non-starter. I know that the Rex didn't want to help fund anything that has to do with us. So, but on the bigger picture, our managers have no way of knowing who even participates in that recreational prawn fishing. It seems even if there was not a fee attached to it, that it would do a lot of good for our managers to know how many people participate in it. I asked our manager what he thought the estimate was. The first one he gave me was maybe 50,000 people. The second estimate he gave me was maybe 20,000 people. They have no idea. So it's one of the few fisheries in the state. Lincott is the only one I know of that doesn't require a catch card or a record. And with the allocation change and the pushing for the recreational prawn fishery, it seems to me like there should be some way to at least monitor or know how many people are even participating in the fishery. So that's up to you guys to figure out. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Bodenhammer, do you want to introduce the young man with you?
My name is Brett Bodenhammer. This is my son, Ty. Ty's 7. As a father, I'm proud as can be of him, and, you know, probably much like my father was of me. I was raised a fisherman, an outdoorsman in this state. I'm a lifer. At 48, I've seen a lot of good things go on, and I've seen some things that I'm not happy with. At 7, Ty has a big future ahead of him. He has good things to look forward to, and he probably has some challenges and some issues that I hope he stands up like I am and helps you people address. I've watched the fishery in my 48 years hold its own at times and other areas go downhill. I'm not here to talk science. I'm not here to talk specifics. There's way smarter people than me here. I'll let them handle that. But I am here to talk about access. I'm here to talk about opportunity. And most of all, I'm here to talk about fish. I've started Ty young. His goal is to catch as many fish as his dad, and he does it daily. He can't continue to do that without fish. He can't be a steward of our resources without fish. A good example is the gene bank issue on the South Fork of the Tootle that's underway right now. There's big talk about getting rid of fish on the South Fork, on the North Fork of the Tootle, in an attempt to generate more wild fish. We went to a meeting on Thursday night about that. It appears the Cow Weeman is a great choice to do that, which, because there's not a lot of public access on that river, it's a great river to run an experiment on, and still leave us access and hatchery fish on the Green River and some of the other rivers that are historically great rivers. Another issue I've stood up for recently is the net pens on Mayfield Lake. I understand the legislature set aside enough funding to construct and maintain 2 million smolt being raised in net pens on Mayfield. The issue is currently having a problem with Tacoma Power at the collection facility and some other items. I hope that you people will stand up and see what the voters approved through, see what the legislature passed, and spend the money appropriately. The main reason I am here, though, again, I could have been a lot of places. I've spent $100 in diesel coming here. I could be at home watching SpongeBob SquarePants with Ty. You know, I could be in bed with my wife, or I could be working, putting money on our table or putting food on our table. I'm here because this fishery, this resource, means a lot to us as a family, and I'm concerned about it for his future. I feel like, you know, at seven, he's got hopefully a lot of good years ahead of him, and I hope that you people will do what it takes to protect our resource and give him an awesome recreational opportunity in the future. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, that concludes open public input. Those were the people who'd signed up for this first item. I want to ask you, please, no applause. We understand that there's a lot of support for some of the comments that are going to be made by your fellow here. But just to maintain a sense of decorum and respect for all points of view, I urge you not to applaud. We know you support. Okay, let's move into item number 12, Grays Harbor Salmon Management. This is a briefing as well as a public hearing. We're going to hear a presentation first from staff, and then we'll take public input. Oh, Director Anderson?
Just a couple of things on the public comments that we heard. Consistent with the Commission's policy, we will be providing you an overview of the Commission's policy and the implementation of that policy relative to Puget Sound spot prawns, so you can be expecting that either at the February or March meeting. And there was also, the last speaker talked about the Mayfield net pens. We did finally clear the last hurdle from a permitting perspective and agreement with Tacoma Power, so we've got a green light to proceed on that project and expend those funds that were provided to us by the legislature for that project.
Great. Thanks. And I appreciate that, particularly because a lot of people who come to give us comments, they come forward, they talk with us, we don't say anything typically, because we're not prepared to respond to every issue that's brought up. But you can rest assured that our director and our deputy director and our staff are taking notes. So everything you say is being recorded, and we're paying attention, even if we don't respond. But that response is appreciated.